You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Paul says, this I say, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, he says, that you and I should not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance. These terms are mental. He says understanding is darkened, being alienated through the life of, from the life of God because of ignorance, because of the blindness, the King James says, of their heart, but their minds are blind. That's why Paul says our mind needs to be regenerated, renewed, turned into a new mechanism. We draw conclusions based on old socializations, the unconscious mind. We make conclusions and decisions about things based on what happened to us. Most of us have no future because our present is so limited by our past. And so we can go nowhere. People say, why are you going to school? You already a pastor. And why are you doing this? And why are you studying foreign languages? That's because your mind is limited. The question ought to be, are you stopping there? In our minds, we allow the external to determine how far we go. I spent 10 years becoming fluent in Italian. Now I'm learning Russian. I'm 32 years old. And my mind is being renewed. Why? Because it hears me say I'm 32. I wish I had some people that could understand. My mind hears me say it, and it sent a message to my eyes. It sent a message, and my optometrist said she changed the prescription on my glasses upwards. So I don't need them as much. You know why? Because my brain and my optic nerve heard me say we're 32. As long as you say, this old building, keep on leaning, it's going to start leaning. But when you say, oh, no, the Bible says he renews our youth like the eagles. Are you hearing me? Now, some of you are saying, look, Pastor, you get it old. That's just the way it is. No, that's not the way it is. Where is it in the Word of God that says I have to become a vegetable at 60? Where does the Word of God say I got to start dying at 70? If that's true, somebody forgot to tell Clint Eastwood because he's in his 80s and still acting. Where is it? It's in your mind. Most of you in here don't like math. Why? Because you've convinced your mind that it's hard. You've convinced yourself you can't do it. If I put some algebraic equations up on the screen, you look at it and say, what's that? Because right away in your mind, you revert back to, I can't do that. You didn't even try. Tell your neighbor, try. Glory to God. Woo! You know what faith is? Faith, I'm going to give you an algebraic equation. Faith is equal to or greater than try. When you have faith, you try. Lord, help me. You say, well, we're so worried about succeeding. No, baby, try. Succeeding belongs to God. Trying belongs to us. The more you tell yourself you can't, you won't. Do you know why Jesus had a 100% success rate in raising the dead? Because the dead can't say, I can't. They just did exactly what he said. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus got right up. He didn't stop and say, now, are you sure you want me to do this? No, because when you have your real faith, you are dead to the world and alive to God. So if God tells you to do something, you don't come up with excuses as to why you can't, because your mind has been renewed and you see it God's way. Believe the doctor with a semicolon. Don't believe the doctor with a period. Doctors are great, and I thank God for them. But they are not the end all. They may see something. The test may say something. But if you stay with your mind on God, you can walk out of that examination room and say to yourself, regardless of what they see, by his stripes I am healed, and by his stripes I shall survive. Hallelujah! Man, I didn't preach myself happy. Let me get back to this. Glory to God. He said, and look, they've given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not learned Christ this way. There's that mental word, learn. You have not learned this as a Christian. You ought not to be living like they do, with the conflict of the dual mind, trying to find a way to make things work for you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He then goes on to list the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against your knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That means that the enemy attacks you where? In your mind. He tells you you're no good, that you can't make it, that life is not fair, that Pastor Lambert preaches too long. And he gives you all these reasons why you should not enjoy the fact that you're getting a full course meal. You're not getting some hamburger and fries when you come in to Bethel Deliverance Church. This is the shady maple of the house of God. You can keep coming back and getting more. Tell yourself, I'm getting all I need. Devil will tell you, he preached too long. He preached too long. No! All of Kevin Costner's movies are over 2 hours long. And we sit there and watch. If you build it, they will come. The Dancing with Wolves. All the movies that he made are long, 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 long. The Godfather's almost 3 hours long. But if it came on, two-thirds of you will watch it again. But when it comes time to the Word of God, we just want a snack. We just want an appetizer. Your mind can't be changed with some hot wings. You need the whole chicken roasted. You need some greens. You need some potatoes. You need some cornbread. Now, he said, look, what must I do? Cast down imaginations. Lord, help me here. Cast it down. Cast it down. Cast it down. Notice the verb is first person indicative. You cast it down. He doesn't say go to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, cast this down. No, Holy Spirit, don't cast it down. You must cast it down. You've got to tell yourself that thought is not right. When the enemy comes and tells you nobody likes you, cast it down. Substitute his lie with the truth. God loves me, Jesus loves me, and I love me. And who cares who else does not? And every high thing that exalts itself, there is an indefinite article, the. There should be a definite article, your knowledge of God. Everything that comes against your knowledge of God. And I love it that way because that means that everyone has a personal knowledge of God that may not be mine. It doesn't mean mine is better than yours. It means that you see him based on your knowledge. Lord, help me. Now, the devil isn't going to come and attack my knowledge of God with you. He's going to attack your knowledge of God. But you've got to cast it down. How do you cast it down? Here's what God does. Lord, help me. God will not allow the devil to try you on anything that you have not already defeated him in. So you can reach back and get a testimony for your test.
When the enemy comes in today, you say, hold it, devil. God brought me out of that some time ago. Since there's nothing new under the sun, no test that comes to you will be able to stand against your previous knowledge of God. Why do you think he does all this stuff in the Bible? To show you that he can and to show you that he wants to. Do you understand that when you go through, all you got to do is reach back and grab an old testimony, dust off the cobwebs, and when the devil tells you God is not going to provide, you look back in your life and say, devil, he already did. And if he did it back there, he's going to do it up here. So I'm casting down that stronghold. I'm getting rid of that lie.
Isaiah says, who shall believe our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I can stand here and preach the Bible from sun up to sundown, but unless you give mental assent, it will go nowhere. Now, let's watch the conflict. That was all foundation. Now it's time for the sermon. Matthew chapter 14. Now, listen to me very carefully. As we set the stage in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 31. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now I need all of you Bible thumpers to think with me now. You real spiritual people who walk with God in the second heaven. You can't walk with him in the third heaven because there ain't no oxygen up there. And there's none in the second heaven, but he can keep you there. And flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom. So, now, if you look at this passage and you will see where it says, he constrained his disciples to get into a ship. And let's rephrase that. He just about forced them. They wanted to hang with him. He said, no, get in that ship and get on the other side. Now, listen, saints, please. My daughter knows me. And it's weird because I'll say something and she becomes like a prosecuting attorney. She tells her mother, listen to what he's saying. She said, now, that's not the question you ask. We were going someplace once, and I had an appointment. She was in the car, and, you know, people were in the car with us. And I told them what time this particular appointment was. And I had everybody convinced at a certain hour. So they wanted to stop for food. And I said, but we got to be there. This is what time this thing starts. And everybody's spirits sank because you know how, you know, people are with food. And they wanted to stop at Bob Evans. And I was like, no, we got to be there at this time. So I had everybody come in. Shanina says, but Dad, what time do you have to be there? I looked at her and said, get out my car. Just. I told her what time I had to be there. She said, now we can stop and eat. When you understand God, here's the question that you probably never asked in this verse. Why did he force them to get in a ship and go to the other side? There's something in his mind when he pushes you without an explanation. He's about to show you something. You can't find too many times, maybe twice, where he puts them in a boat to send them ahead. They could have stayed with him while he pushed the people away. It probably would have been advantageous for him to stay, for them to stay with him. But he said, no, I don't need y'all. Go. Get in that boat and go, almost forcefully. So they're in the boat. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went to the mountain to pray. And when the evening came, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the middle of the sea.
This is the Sea of Galilee. It's only 16 miles across. He sends them away and goes and prays all night. And the storm was of such a magnitude that they didn't even get further than the middle. 8 miles is all they were able to navigate. It's dark. They're out there in that storm. And the Bible goes on, Matthew says, the wind was contrary. How many contrary winds do you have in your life? Designed to slow your progress. Designed to hinder what God has prepared for you. Slowing you down to the point where your mind says, I ain't gonna make it. But God has this character about him that causes him to show up in the 12th hour. He's like the Calvary in a John Ford Western. There are 7,000 Indians and 4 settlers, and they're shooting 6 round revolvers that never run out of bullets. They're shooting revolvers at Indians 1,200 yards away and laying under a Conestoga wagon. And the woman, bless her heart, y'all couldn't make it. She's loading up the rifles. She got the kids in there, half a dozen kids. Y'all stay down. She's loading up the rifles. Here, honey. Indians all around, arrows coming through the wagon. She, here, honey, she ain't in there hiding. Talking about, oh, my hair, my nails. She shoveled snow in the winter and picked corn in the fall. A virtuous woman. Brothers, y'all gonna bail out on me now, right?
Baby, I don't feel that way. I don't want you doing that kind of stuff. Bishop Lambert, he ain't right. I'll go talk to him in his office.
Way to go, Bishop. Don't stop. And just as soon as the Indians begin to get closer, you hear in the distance the cavalry charge. And then you just instinctively know they're going to win. And they come in and chase all the Indians away. All the Indians run. Because you knew that's how God is. God lets you get so far in something. And then comes and gets you out. But then it depends on your salvational experience and your maturity. Sometimes he lets you get too far in it. Then he shows up and stands with you. He won't take you out. That's what he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He came and stood with them. He loosed the ropes so they could praise him, but he kept them in the fire. And there are times when God allows us to see him in the negative situation. Now, you newer Christians, he gets you out quick because he knows you don't have the faith to stand. But if you've been with him for an appreciable amount of time, you got some burns, some scars. You got some pain. You've had to call on God for some spiritual Advil. If you walk with him long enough, you're going to have a Job experience. You're going to call him and his phone going to be, he has blocked your number. Because he knows that in your mind, you aren't going anywhere. Let me finish this. Glory to God. But now, verse 24, the ship was in the middle of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, around 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus comes to them walking on the sea. And the disciples saw him walking. They were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, a pneuma. Where we get Holy Ghost. He said, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But right away, Jesus spoke unto them and said, be of good cheer. It is I. Now remember, the wind is contrary. The wind is extremely boisterous. And yet,
he speaks and they hear him. I don't think he whispered. In order to be heard, he said, "Be of good cheer, it is I." Everybody in that boat heard him. But only one stood up and said, "Since it's you, let me come." Now that's the spirit mind. Remember, by the time we get to this miracle, Peter has seen the water turn to wine. He has seen the first application of the multitudes being fed. He has seen Jesus do miracles of healing. So he has this spiritual mind that says, hey, that is Jesus. He can do that. The spirit mind rose to the surface. Hey, it's you. Let me come. Spirit mind always starts you out. Spirit mind starts you into ministry. Spirit mind starts you coming to church regularly. Spirit mind starts you reading the Bible with us in 2019, the year of the Bible.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, The Natural Mind versus the Spiritual Mind, or the program number 02119A. If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel's Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincode, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invites all women to Women's Conference 2019. Daughters of the King, wear your crown, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Come and join us for 2 days of praise, worship, and life-empowering workshops from dynamic speakers. Joining us on Friday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. will be Evangelist Joyce L. Rogers, founder of Primary Purpose Ministries Incorporated of Carlton, Texas. On Saturday, beginning at 8:30 a.m., there will be a special panel discussion featuring the women's pastors of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches. The mid-morning and afternoon sessions will be facilitated by guest presenter, Pastor Latera Ruffin from the Life Empowerment Church of Moreno Valley, California. All sessions will be held in the sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincode, Pennsylvania. The deadline to register is Friday, May 3rd. Registration is available online at BethelDeliverance.org. For more information, call 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. Ladies, don't miss this uplifting time of praise, worship, and life-transforming teaching from anointed women of God, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Plan to join us and register today.
All ministers and aspiring ministers are invited to the Making of a Minister training session with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. He'll be joined by his co-host, Pastor Brian Weatherspoon of Tabernacle Harvest Church of Pottstown, Pennsylvania. Come and join the pastors as they share from their 45 years of combined experience. This special session will equip you with the tools and knowledge for effectively crafting your sermons in order to rightly divide the Word of God. You won't want to miss this important time of training and development. It's happening Saturday, April 13th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Admission is free, but you must call to register at 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. For more information, visit BethelDeliverance.org. We look forward to seeing you there.